Tired of scrolling through endless sitter profiles on other sites only to get ghosted? For over 20 years, Sitter City has been the go-to resource for parents who want a more personalized, reliable way to find trustworthy sitters and nannies. While other sites flood you with options, Sitter City focuses on bringing you high-quality matches that are the right fit for your family every time. With SitterCity.com, you can find full-time, part-time, or occasional care that meets your specific needs. Every caregiver is ID verified and profiles include real parent reviews, background checks, and specialized experience, so you can spend less time searching and more time doing what matters most, spending time with your family. And did you know that many employers include Sitter City as part of their benefits package? In a few clicks, find out if you can get Sitter City free. Getting started has never been easier. Take the guesswork out of finding care so you can breathe easier knowing your kids are in good hands. Visit SitterCity.com today to get the care you need.
Astonishing Legends is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things that people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Potential savings will vary.
Not available in all states or situations.
Astonishing Legends Network.
The views and opinions expressed by hosts and listeners on the Astonishing Dead Letter Office are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Astonishing Legends Productions, the Astonishing Legends Network, or any affiliated entities or guests.
When something unexplainable happens to you, it can make you feel isolated or alone. But trust us, you're not. For over a decade, you've been sending your strange stories to Astonishing Legends. And now it's time for our fellow legenders to hear them too. Join us weekly in Blanket Fortiana as we dig through your intriguing messages to the Astonishing Dead Letter Office.
Tonight's episode, The Dog Walker.
Welcome back to Blanket Fortiana for our next dead letter reading. And this one is fascinating because not only is it a ghost story, but it takes place in broad daylight on a bright sunny day.
Yes, this comes to us from listener Karina, a resident of the seaside suburb of Semaphore, Australia, which is a beautiful area from what we can tell with a little cursory research online and some Google Earth vicarious traveling.
Yes, and maybe one day it'll be a full four. That's a dad joke. Sorry about that. Yeah, not even a
nice
dad.
Work.
But it would be semi-four. But yes, it's a beautiful community that is now a northwestern suburb of Adelaide, just 12 miles north up the coast from where the Somerton Man was found in 1948.
Ah, you could almost walk there. It'd be a long day, but you can do it. Our old friend, the Somerton Man, we covered him quite some time ago. Although there have been some new developments, but look for our episodes on him in our back catalog. Now, Karina's story is quite different, however. She, too, saw a mysterious man near the beach, but it was 2015, not 1948, although he was dressed like someone from the 1920s. And he was only there for a moment before vanishing into thin air.
Yes, and not only the man disappeared, but also the three dogs he was walking. So, Scott, I believe it's your turn to read this one, sir.
To preface this, Karina originally sent this in around Halloween, a few years ago. I thought you might enjoy my ghost story at this appropriate time of the year. So many ghost sightings people put down to sleep paralysis, a creepy environment influencing your state of mind, etc. But my story takes place on a very bright, hot summer's morning when I was very much awake and my ghost, in quotes, was about 3 meters from where I stood, so I got a good look. I live in Semaphore, which began as a 19th century seaside resort and is now a suburb of Adelaide. My house is a block from the Esplanade, and I often go for morning walks along the beach, which is exactly what I was doing on this day about 3 years ago. I crossed the road, which tends to be a bit busy with morning traffic, and approached the corner of a little laneway, barely more than a car's breadth wide to accommodate one-way traffic, really only used by locals. I have to say, my mind was fairly blank and my mood neutral, just in my own little reverie, which is my usual frame of mind when walking. This whole thing took a matter of seconds to play out, but I remember it so vividly because it puzzled me at the time. As I approached the corner, I shot a look over my shoulder to make sure there wasn't a car just about to turn down the lane. In doing this, I also caught a brief look at the morning sun, just rising over the rooftops. It was going to be a very hot day, and the light was already quite intense, so the sun temporarily affected my vision, as it does. I saw a man standing on the opposite corner of the lane. He was about 5'8" tall, muscular but stocky build, perhaps in his 30s, and was wearing fairly baggy pants, lace-up boots, a baggy white shirt with the sleeves rolled up to the elbows, and a cloth cap. His clothes weren't appropriate for the weather that morning, and although they may have appeared a bit quaint, maybe in the style of the 1930s or 40s, he might also have just been your regular garden variety hipster. He was also completely solid and opaque, and not ghost-like in the slightest, so I wasn't in the least afraid or suspicious. Because of having just looked at the sun, he was slightly silhouetted and desaturated, although not completely gray, and I could make out details of his clothes very easily as he was so close, down to the buttons on his shirt. Another thing, he had 3 greyhounds on chain leashes with him. Although the man was completely static as he might have been while waiting to cross the street, the dogs were moving a little, shifting about on their feet, turning their heads, etc. I darted a quick look over my shoulder again just as I began to cross, but when I looked back where the man was standing, he had disappeared in what was literally a split second. The laneway is lined with high fences, the sides and backs of people's properties, with no gates or gardens, and so he still would have been in view if he'd walked down the laneway, but he wasn't there. I looked back at the road in case he was crossing. He still would have been on the road, such a brief second had passed, and he wasn't there either. Once I crossed the lane, I peeked over the high garden gate of the house on the corner, and all that was there was a serene-looking white cat sitting on the porch. No dogs, no man. I was completely flummoxed. It was then that I realized that not only had I not heard the gate open or close, I had also not heard any noise whatsoever. No clink from the dog's leashes, no dogs panting, no footsteps from the man, and they had only been about 3 to 4 yards away at most. Then I realized also that it was wrong that I could make out so much detail in the man's clothes but had not seen his face. It was as though where his features would be, he was vague and featureless, and yet not what you could describe as being in shadow, certainly not with such a bright sun which would have hit his left side. At the same time, on some subconscious level, I reached for a logical explanation, that my vision was still affected by the sun. But why see so much detail in his clothes and the dogs he was walking, but not his face? My conclusion, that I'd either seen somebody and his dogs completely disappear, or else it was an apparition of some kind. I've often wondered if perhaps there was a greyhound kennel in the area in the early 20th century, but I haven't found any evidence of that. I absolutely swear that this truly happened, and of course, it stuck with me vividly because it's not every day someone disappears in front of you. This experience wasn't in the least bit creepy, though, just very baffling.
Well, have you ever had somebody disappear in front of you? Or let me put it this way, have you ever sensed or thought that somebody may have, let's not say vanished, it puzzled you that they just went away so quickly and it struck you as odd?
I've had that happen. I usually chalk it up to my senses being not great, like, because it's not just with people. I know I've had that feeling also with, like, I thought I saw a car there, or I thought I saw a plane there, or I thought I saw something, and then I look back and it's not, and I was like, okay, so did I made a snap judgment that was wrong, but my mind told me there was an object there, but there isn't really. And so then, of course, the next thing I do is like, oh, I was confused. Wouldn't in this case, I think if I saw a man dressed in 20s clothes with 3 greyhounds, I would be like, that's pretty, that's pretty well defined.
Yeah, this is a different situation. No, I think that happened to you driving. This is probably maybe 6 months ago or a year ago. You were talking about that kind of sensation where you were driving and you thought you saw a car in another lane.
I think that's what I was just thinking about, and I had forgotten the circumstances, and I couldn't enunciate it to you. You'll have to remind me of my own story in this case.
Well, it was, just something where you, and I don't remember the exact details, because it's a little complicated in that you were, it was a car passing you on the road, or it was going to turn, and then you thought it was, it had gone, or you expected it to see the car there, and suddenly it was just vanished.
Yes, I have had that happen, and I've had that happen a few times, which probably means that I have dementia.
That's happened to all
of
us.
Not to joke about that, by the way, folks. Yeah. And just for people who are like, you shouldn't joke about that, it's in my own family already, so I say it with full knowledge of what it means. But I have had that experience, yes. And like I said a minute ago, when you asked me about this, specifically with cars and recently, and not on the regular, but just sometimes I'll just be driving and I try to have spatial awareness of all the vehicles around me and know where they are. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, there's a guy in my blind spot. And I'll look over and that car is gone. And there wasn't an off-ramp. There wasn't, like, I don't know where it went. So that definitely happens, but I chalk it up to me just being getting old.
Well, I think in that case, what I'm trying to elucidate here, that to me is more like sleight of hand, okay? Now, we all know card mechanics and magicians who are good at sleight of hand, pickpockets, they all can make it seem like something disappeared, but obviously we know it didn't.
Right.
I'd heard long ago, and I'm sure I'm wrong about this, that it was your eye picks up or your brain does 14 images per second. It's something kind of low, and you can be easily fooled by visual sleight of hand, let's say.
Sure.
Something disappears. And it's happened to me too. I mean, the only other thing where it struck me as strange, and I told the story a long time ago, and I hope it didn't sound weird at the time, but I think it may have been back when we were talking about the episode, Are We Ever Alone? Perceiving something that you turn around, it's like, wait, that was there a second ago. Now it's not here. And then you feel kind of weirded out. Back when I used to jog, I'd be on a very major street, and there's a few people jogging out. It's a very popular Los Feliz Boulevard. It'd be a very popular place to jog. And as people would pass me who are much more in shape and actual joggers, they sometimes would inspire me to try and keep up. It's like, okay, they just blew past me. Let me see how long I can keep up as a little bit of inspiration. And I just remember one time this jogger passed me, and then they took a turn to the right down a neighborhood. It's like they're only, I don't know, it seemed like maybe 5, maybe 10 seconds at the most. And I caught up to that spot. I looked down the street and they were gone.
Yes.
It would just seem a little odd. Now, it didn't freak me out. It's not like it was, they disappeared, vanished into an open desert where they couldn't be seen. Obviously, there's a lot of different apartments there.
Yeah, driveways and
driveways. Whatever. And most people, like I said, they had a ways to go. You know, people would often take a turn down a street and then you'd catch up and you'd see them jogging, continuing on. And it was just odd to me that, like, wow, that person must have ducked into an apartment, or maybe they were home already and they just quickly ran inside. Although that seemed too quick, to get your keys and get inside and you not hearing the door close or anything. So it just seemed kind of odd that they were gone. But I would chalk that up not as a ghost, because they ran right past me. It's like I said, I don't think it was a ghost jogger. It was just me missing some visual time, let's say, and not noticing that they went somewhere. But it struck me as odd at the time. I'm like, well, that's weird. I think you would just expect to see them and you didn't. In this case, though, it's not like the car passing or the jogger or worth anywhere to go. This was, as our author says, about 3 meters away. So you're talking between 9 and closer to 10 feet.
Yeah.
In that they're there. You're not mistaking them for somewhere else and there's nowhere else to go. So it's even more uncanny that they just kind of vanished. Now, what did they see? Well, we've talked about this since we started the show, and one of our good friends also saw somebody from a past era on board the Queen Mary, our second show.
Queen Mary and the Haunted Valentine.
That's right. So our good friend Marty and his wife, Alice, it was Marty that saw somebody in his cabin, and he looked over, and actually, as I remember the story, he was sitting on the bed, putting his socks on. They're about to go out to dinner, and he looks up in the full-length mirror that's behind the bathroom door, which is slightly ajar. His wife is on the other side getting ready. And in the mirror, he can see a gentleman on the other side of the bed in the mirror also getting ready, dressed in like a coat and tails, looked like something from the 20s or 30s. But he described him as looking like Baron Munchausen, John Neville, the great actor, that kind of a distinguished look about him, looking straight forward and getting ready. And, our friend Marty was just like, he said he was frozen, just like, because either one, there's an old guy that snuck into our cabin without us knowing.
Right.
Or two, it's some kind of ghost. And as he also described, the person was also seeming like he was getting ready for dinner as well. And then he also knew he said his neck was straining. He was getting a neck ache in that few seconds because he was straining so hard to keep his attention and gaze focused on what was in the mirror that he knew if he turned around to look at him directly, it would go. And then eventually the spell broke a little bit. And he turned his head and of course it was gone. And he also vanished. And that's somebody in the room. So that's also unmistakable. There's nowhere for him to go. There was no guy in the room. But what was it? And then we ask Marty, he's like, well, what did you feel like? Did it feel like a spirit? He said, no, it was just kind of, he said it wasn't ghost-like or that it was a presence. It just seemed like I was seeing a visual echo. And we've come to since learn that that is also one of the many types of things that people see, that it's not necessarily a spirit. It could be like a visual echo from the past of just somebody who was there. And somehow, you know, again, as we've gone on these now 10 years doing the podcast, we've learned a lot when we didn't know anything. And now we just know a little bit more than that, but still next to nothing. But we've learned a few terms and ideas and concepts which have informed our thinking on this and our speculations. And in this case, it seems like maybe that was, you know, what Marty saw by the way he felt. He said, it wasn't a presence. The guy was moving, but he didn't seem to notice me sitting in the bed. There was no interaction. I just felt like it was kind of empty, but I actually did see something. It was just not like a ghostly spirit feeling of any kind. Didn't, other than that, it was amazing and impossible to see, but he saw it. And very close by, probably the same distance between 2 or 3 meters. So what are we seeing here? Well, we don't really know. Of course, I don't think we ever know what it is, but it could be something like a visual echo from the past. Somebody that was also out that morning walking 3 dogs on the beach on a nice day.
Yeah.
And again, a little bit of, as I was saying, that the concept of the stone tape theory.
Yes.
Human interaction and energy has imprinted itself on the objects and environment around it. Like it was, the vibes were encased in stone, and occasionally you walk by and it triggers the play button and you see something pop up. And often happens in theaters, hospitals, churches.
And the Fortress of Solitude.
And there you go.
If you put the right crystal. Yeah, but I do think that that's interesting. It does seem to me more like that, more than it would be an interactive thing. It's like an echo from the past. The thing I wonder about when you're seeing that stuff is, are you actually looking at an echo, or are two presence, and I mean by presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, like, was it present for the guy with the dogs and present for Karina, but those two presence overlapped for a moment. They were experiencing the same thing at the same time. And I know that Einstein said that time occurs all at once. I think it's an illusion that it's linear.
Did
for
he say
us,
that?
But I think so. I think it was that everything is happening at once. But even if I'm wrong about that, I think the first thing we think when you hear a story like this, if you believe any of this at all, the first thing you think is, oh yeah, they saw something from 100 years ago. That's really wild. But what if instead of seeing something from 100 years ago, you and 100 years ago are directly interacting in what is the present for both parties? That's a question I have. It's like, what kind of phone call is it? Are you listening to a tape, or are you actively communicating with someone who's living in that time period?
Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you brought that up because it just sparked another memory of mine. And again, you never really know what's going on, I think. And I think even after we pass away, and I do believe in an afterlife, maybe you don't get the answers then either. So maybe it's just all, that part is wholly unsatisfying, but you are in a better place, as they say. In this case, though, it reminds me of another story because you talked about, well, what clues can we take from this to determine what kind of an interaction it was and what kind of an experience? And it was a great story that we got for Halloween, I think at least a couple of years ago. I hope to read this one eventually. I think maybe it is in our queue coming up here. But it was a great story in the fact that it offered a glimpse of an interaction. The gist of it was, one of our great listeners here, she worked years ago, I believe in Texas, that had like an old West town portion, but mainly it was old rail cars these were famous rail cars built, not Pullman coaches, but equally famous, I think. They were restored to original late 19th century condition, or mid-19th century condition, and they would give tours. And so She worked with an older woman who was kind of her mentor, I think, on the tours and well-versed in the history. She was much younger. I think maybe it was like a summer job or a, you know, college kind of job. But they both dressed in period costume, as all the people did there, as they gave tours. And they would bring people in into the rail car, explain the history of it, let people kind of look around, and then they'd usher them out. And they kept very close detail on the number of people in groups. And so, like
yes,
I said, you don't want people—
Yes, I remember this story now. Yes.
Right, you don't want people lingering around. So she goes into one of the cars. The last group was ushered out by the older woman, and then she was in there and not expecting to see anybody, but there's four gentlemen in the last car, and they were also looking like they were in period costume.
Right.
And she walks in there, and of course, she's in period dress, and probably not a hoop skirt, but something, you know, like a bustle, probably something of the era. And they look annoyed at her presence of her, like, barging in on them. But they turn to look at her. There was some interaction there. Instead of an echo.
That was interactive, right.
They noticed her. To your point, it was like maybe that was more like a time overlap.
Right. I mean, but this person, just think about this. If you've got two people in a city, forget what time period they're in or from. And they're out walking and one's crossing the street and the other one's doing her own thing. It's like they wouldn't necessarily regard each other or interact. You know, they might. They might glance and smile and say hi or wave, but it's not unusual for them not
exactly.
to necessarily. It doesn't necessarily define the nature of this interaction that they didn't, because they're doing these public things that people do with blindly all the time or whatever. I'm really good on the analysis of
that's what I'm saying is that you, because, you know, lack of interaction doesn't point to one thing or another. I think if there was interaction, I think there was.
In some cases, like if you're right in front of somebody, like if Marty had stood up on the Queen Mary and been like, "Oh, where are you going tonight?" And then the guy answered him, you know, it's one thing, but it's like the fact that two people are changing in the same cabin that shouldn't be in the cabin together and not interacting. It's like, okay, this does seem like there's a wall between them in terms of communication. Whereas we can't obviously say that in the case of this dog walker and Karina, but still. I did look into the kennels thing and the greyhounds, and I was interested about that. And there is a history of greyhound racing in Australia. And there is a track not too far from where she was, about 5 or 6 miles east of it, called Angle Park. That's still open to this day, but it does not go back to the 20s. That park broke ground in 1972. And prior to that, racing was done further, a little further away, as the crow flies, not as far, but to get there is a long way because of water and inlets and the shoreline and stuff. That was another track that was built in 1956. There are tracks in Australia that date to the 20s or early 30s, but they're nowhere near Semaphore. Right. But there are greyhounds, and they're racing them, and they're still racing them, even though that's a controversial thing that's still happening in Australia. I thought that was interesting. So then, you know, of course, then the next thought I thought was like, well, maybe this was just a guy who was on vacation. You know, forget what time period he's in. He's like, he's down at the beach with his three dogs, and he's going out to walk on the beach, and it was some long ago moment that she intersected with or something. He's just out walking.
You mean walking his dogs from a past era?
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't just a guy in baggy clothes.
No, although that would be fun. But like, I mean, even if you did that, even if you said, hey, I'm going to dress up old timey and walk my greyhounds, you're like, but you're still going to have a hard time completely disappearing in the matter of seconds.
Yeah, well, there's that fact. Like I said, you have to take these all these factors into consideration because that's what makes the story noteworthy. She walked a little further away, turns around, the guy's still there, and then you just keep on going. It's like, oh, well, it's a guy who likes to, he likes old-timey fashion. I know people that glom onto different eras where there was 1940s noir, and they wear the baggy pants over their navels, and the guy's doing the short, fat ties.
Right. Well, like she said, oh, maybe it was just a hipster. And it's
like the time traveler,
still
right?
Disappeared.
You've seen the famous time traveler story, and he's wearing the
sweater,
the photo
and
it's got
of that
an
guy,
M on
yeah.
it or something, and he looks like a young Kramer with the curly hair and the glasses. You know, there's always fashion trendsetters of every era. Doesn't necessarily make him a time traveler, but he does look out of place. In this case, it's the reversal because the guy looks out of place. We were just talking about Max Headroom in the 80s, and like that was the baggy pants with the pleats. Remember that? And then eventually that was a fashion ban, a fashion mistake of the day. Nobody wore the baggy pants and the pleats and the you know the heavy woven knits anymore and the pirate shirts and the baggy shirts. And so it could be a guy, but like I said, the button on the story is that he just vanished. And I like the other detail of the story, though, the vagary, the fact that you don't remember or recall or could not see the face very well. That's fascinating to me, is that, and maybe again, maybe
it's exactly. She couldn't recall.
Maybe just something in your, you weren't paying attention as much to his face. You were looking at the clothes, which were unusual. Why would the face be that unusual? And so people would say like, well, you just noticed the clothing because that was out of time or place seemingly, and you just didn't pay attention to the face. But the fact that the face was vague, let's say, was fascinating.
Yeah, I love that too. And it seemed like it didn't occur to her while she was looking at him, but not until after the fact when she tried to recall it.
Again, going back to the reaction, it's like, I don't think you have to get a vibe every time. You can see these things, and it's the place, the setting. Also, she was in her familiar, comfortable space, walking her path that she usually does, where she's kind of meditative. So it's a very comfortable setting. Yeah. You know, it's, you're not in a haunted house, and then you see this, and you're like, oh my gosh, you're creeped out because nobody else, it's a lockdown and nobody else is supposed to be there.
Right, and she lives there, she knows the area, she's going to know if she has the quirky neighbor with three greyhounds who likes to dress up from the 20s. She's going to know if there's some kind of thing going on in town, a play or a festival where she would know all that stuff because it's her home. She's not visiting and has been put on. It's like when you go to Williamsburg, Virginia, there's a whole big section of town that's people in period costumes churning butter and doing stuff. And of course, you're going to see them at Taco Bell and whatever, but you'll know. Is this a time slip? No, it's just somebody who's supposed to be fake churning butter down the street.
People like to set various rules and constrictions upon these stories, I think, to give themselves a sense of control or knowledge about this, and hence a little power to be less frightened of these things, and that, that person didn't die there, so it cannot be their ghost of this famous person, or it can't be this or that.
Right.
And I think it's still pretty open, and the rules aren't hard and fast. But we talk about ghost sightings, and usually, like I said, we were talking about interaction, and people would say like, well, I'm trying not to put this in the category of firmly, I know it's a visual echo, it can't be a ghost. But also the non-interaction is not a sign of anything other than a lot of people report ghost happenings and there's no interaction. What was different, at least by a very well-studied, well-respected, and knowledgeable paranormal author, Brad Steiger, rest in peace. He was terrific. I loved his books. But I remember him talking about what got him interested in the paranormal and the subject and his experience with spirits. And I remember his anecdote about growing up when his parents had an old kind of a ranch house that he grew up in, which was an old converted stagecoach station. And so it had a lot of traffic coming through, but of course, that was over a hundred years ago. But when he was a kid, he would see ghosts all the time, old timey, old Western ghosts, cowboy ghosts. Again, I'm going off of his experience. He said, now what was different is that, I've had experiences since then, but what was weird is that when I was a kid, they would talk to me. They would see me. They would interact with me. And I didn't know exactly what was going on, but I knew that this was special. That marked it as being different, the amount of interaction and the fact that they would converse with him. He said, a lot of times, you would have people see ghosts and they don't really interact much. They may know you're there or sense your presence, but that type of interaction is somehow not allowed or not possible with the amount of energy it takes. So anyway, it's fascinating. I love this sighting. It's one of those things that it's remarkable, but also you don't get any answers from it because, like I said, the one time I thought I saw something at Waverly, like I still, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but where you just are unsure what you saw or if you saw anything at all. And so that's, to me, that's different. This is a much more solid thing that would be much more satisfying.
Well, the anachronistic clothing makes it easier to spot the person, but all of this does make me wonder if we're seeing things all the time and we just don't know.
That's a good
point. Like the person that you saw on the paranormal lockdown, like if you're not paying attention, say you drive by a golf course and you see 10 people playing golf, you don't know them. You don't may have never met them. All 10 of those people might not exist in your same reality. You wouldn't know unless you went up to them and started talking to them. Or the people in the grocery store on the next aisle, that person is just like an avatar of a soul.
Could be.
And it doesn't necessarily have to live in the same place you live when you step off that aisle.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think some of the things we see may not actually be there, but they're not that disturbing. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's what doesn't get your attention is that,
But that's the thing. Maybe it's more of a peaceful coexistence and like things are bleeding across and we just don't know what to look for. And it only stands out to us when something isn't quite right. But when things are all lined up, like in the story that Forrest is talking about, like he says that he talks about a lot, but he's on a paranormal lockdown. They're packing up for the end of the day, and a guy crossed in the hallway way down at a locked down sanatorium that shouldn't have been there. Not part of their team, not anyone he'd seen before. And it was like, well, he's a guy in a baseball cap and shorts or whatever. And then also he vanished and didn't turn up anywhere else. And so for Forrest, right, you were like, well, that's just some dude that's lost or part of another
group
or something.
My point about that, though, is that no one else saw them.
Right.
That was Jim Willis, and his wife Steph was there, and a couple of other people, and we were all scattered in a hallway section that was about, maybe we had staged ourselves about 20 feet down the hall, and we were all just kind of waiting there trying to recreate an experience where Jim saw somebody, doppelgang him, or his team did, which was very odd, so we're trying to recreate that. And as we're packing up, you know, we could kind of hear people stepping down the hall. And so I think they were just like, all right, well, you know, it's like fishing, you know, not getting any bites in this spot. Let's move to another location. And I think it was Jim who asked, like, well, are they the other team here yet? And I glanced up and somebody crossed in front of them, or I thought he did. It's like, yeah, they're already here. And then my point about that whole experience is that later on, it's like Jim didn't see anybody else. I thought his wife, Steph, had confirmed it. Like, yeah, that guy just crossed the hall or something like that. She noticed him. And then I asked later and she hadn't. We've now heard stories where people have seen something differently than other people did. Like the story from the Boy Scout camp where one person thinks they are being enveloped by a black mist. And then his friends say, hey, who is that dude you're talking to?
Yeah.
So he saw black mist. The other guys saw a figure of a dark, shadowy man. And so I wonder, like, if anybody did see something, would they see it differently? Would they just see a white mist where I saw some college-looking dude? Or did I see anything at all? So anyway, great encounter. I'm glad that it wasn't spooky or scary, just really interesting and very clear. I would love to have that kind of clarity of what you saw rather than the vagueness of it, because that's even more unsatisfying.
Well, Karina, thank you so much for sending your story into the Astonishing Dead letter office. It's amazing to see a ghost right in the middle of the day. And based on the anachronistic clothing and the nature of his appearance, it very much seems like he was someone who was no longer with us. Or was it a time slip? If you have to be trapped between this world and the next, it could definitely be worse than walking three greyhounds down to a gorgeous beach in Semaphore. Let's hope rather than a lost soul, it was just an echo from the past. Folks, if you've been part of a time slip or seen an apparition, even solid like this, send your story to deadletteroffice@astonishinglegends.com.
The Astonishing Dead Letter Office is hosted by Scott Philbrick and Faris Burgess and is executive produced by Tess Feifel. The show is edited and mixed by Sarah Voorhees-Wendell at VW Sound. The theme is based on the Astonishing Legends theme by Judson Crane at Founder Music, arranged by Alan Carissia, who composes all the other music in the show. Tommy Beaver Design created the logo. The announcer is John Bowler. That's me. Stories are lightly edited for length, content, and readability, but otherwise presented as they're sent to us. We're always looking for more dead letters, so if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, email it to deadletteroffice@astonishinglegends.com. Please include how you would like to be credited. First name only, first name last initial, anonymous, a pseudonym. Let us know. Due to the number of emails coming in, we often cannot respond, but we do read them all. No part of this show may be reproduced anywhere without permission. Copyright Astonishing Legends Productions.
Astonishing Legends is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things that people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Potential savings will vary.
Not available in all states or situations.
Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop, because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more. Your favorite stores like Lenovo and Wine.com pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members, and that could be you. Cash back is deposited directly into your PayPal account. Or, if you prefer, Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cash back on top of other deals, like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cashback really adds up.
How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint, dents, dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. Most cars on the road could use a little bit of love. And keep in mind, with Americans keeping their vehicles longer, protecting your investment has never been more important. At Maaco, they make it really easy. You come in, free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Don't let those little imperfections add up. You want to keep your car on the road. You want to give it a little bit of love. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will take care of everything after that. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
When you sit behind the wheel of the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X, you'll feel like the entire world is your playground, and you'd be right, because this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, the all-new Armada is powerful enough to take you anywhere. With its 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, it will let you bring all your toys along, and with seating for eight, your whole crew can join you. Nissan created a truly capable vehicle in the all-new Armada. In fact, it's the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge, which Nissan reserves for its most adventure-ready vehicles. The Armada is a big SUV designed and built for big adventures and must be experienced to be appreciated. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done,
offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.